Hello, discerning podcast listeners. This is Tom Kenny, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
When the world's greatest athlete, Michael Jordan, teams up with the world's best-loved cartoon character, Bugs Bunny, you won't believe your eyes.
Pardon me, Mr. Jordan. Could I have your your John Hancock?
What's going on here?
We need your help!
You heard of the Dream Team? Well, we're the Mean Team.
Ready?
Yeah!
Doc.
Yeah.
You kick it in here.
You go to the hole and dominate.
We own defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Warner Brothers presents Jordan.
Books.
Bunny.
Special delivery.
Together, they just might save the world. Space Jam. You've never seen anything like it. Mwah!
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back to our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I am, of course, Chief Mike. Steve Megatron is somewhere in the serververse. I don't know where he is. Joining me is longtime friend, multiple year, 5-6 years. I mean, you've done it for all your life, but...
Radio? I'm 10. We're like 10 plus.
Oh, wow. There you go. You're a decade old in radio. There you go. As you can hear, it is Mr. Jesse Raz. Hello, sir.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop. And we are here to celebrate 25 years of Space Jam.
And what better way to celebrate 25 years of Space Jam than to crap on it with a new movie?
Basketball camp is next weekend. You got amazing potential on the court, and I can help you get there.
That's not what I want, Dad. You never let me do what I want to do. You never let me just do me.
Hold up. Wrong floor.
I bet Will Smith ain't got to deal with this.
Dad!
Tom!
What in the Matrix hell?
Welcome to the space. The space. Welcome to the space.
Welcome, King James. I am the king of this domain.
This is the serververse.
What'd you do to my son?
Where's Dom?
The only way you're getting your son back is if you and I play a little basketball. Pete, send this clown to the rejects.
Wait.
What is this? I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
I need to assemble an elite team to help give my son back.
I know what you're looking for.
So shoot, baby, shoot.
A dream team. Mom, shoot the ball. Let's try that again, shall we?
King James. Welcome to
the Space Jam.
Introducing the Goon Squad!
You gotta win this game.
Let's end this.
Got some crime?
And get our son back.
Yikes. Classic.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
On his butt.
Whoa.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
I really, why is War Machine the villain?
We'll talk about that way later.
Okay.
But yes, 25 years, Space Jam, the original movie, obviously not the first time live action and animation have combined. Obviously, there was Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 1988, and a long, long, long time ago, back when cartoons first started, there were several shorts where live action and animation would combine. I think the one I remember most is You Ought to Be in Pictures. It's the one where Daffy convinces Porky to quit Schlesinger Studios and go to the Hollywood Studios and see Leon Schlesinger. So live action and tune combination been around for decades long.
But I got to say that Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Space Jam are probably two of the best examples of it being done well.
And I like Looney Tunes back in action, but it was a little too silly.
Well, it was kind of like, okay, so we did Space Jam and it was a Looney Tunes movie. So let's do another one with live actors. And the problem with and Bob Hoskins did a wonderful job in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But the problem with animation and live action, you have to have an actor who can work with basically a sock puppet or just nothing there. And now that's pretty common with CG and all that stuff. But back then, those actors were few and far between. And to really sell it, it's not easy.
No. I do think, though, that Steve Martin did sell it in Back in Action because he was way over the top.
Steve Martin sells everything he does. And so, yeah, that's a no-brainer. But that whole movie was just... It was kind of a nothing. Like it was, well, and in reality, and we can get into this with Space Jam, but like Space Jam kind of either heralded or upped it to the next level, the fandom of Looney Tunes in the 90s, that sort of resurgence of them as like a pop culture thing. Yep. And Warner Brothers was trying to keep it going. And by the time that came out, that was already, that fad had faded a little bit.
Yeah. So with a budget of $80 million, Space Jam came out November 15th, 1996, with a running time of 88 minutes. It made in total worldwide $250.2 million.
Yeah.
It impressive. It is impressive. It was written by Leo Benvenuti, Steve Rudnick, Timothy Harris, and Herschel Wingrod. Directed by Joe Pitka, who Joe Pitka only had ever two films to his credit.
Oh yeah, what was the other one?
The other one was, I wish I knew that right off the top of my head.
You can't throw that out there and not have it.
Yeah, I know. The other one was Let It Ride.
Wow.
This was a 1989 Richard Dreyfuss, Robbie Coltrane, David Johnson, Jennifer Tilly, and Terry Garr. Let It Ride is a 1989 American comedy film. Oh boy. So he did comedy and basketball with cartoons.
Oh.
Before that, he was obviously he was a music video director. He had done several things with Michael, Michael Jackson and others.
The writer of this, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, also writer on the Santa Claus and the horrible Santa Claus 3.
Hey, you leave the Santa Clauses alone. Thank God they didn't do a fourth one. So, Space Jam, what history do you have with this film? Did you see it in theaters? Do you remember watching it on VHS or whatever?
I can't remember if I saw it in theaters or not, because it was a toss up as to whether, you know, my parents would bring us to the movie theater or not. I do know for a fact we owned this thing on VHS. because we bought the whatever special version came with the collector's coin. And I'm thing for years. And I mean, if I look through my stuff now, I'd probably be able to find it. But like, I remember it was tucked in the sleeve of the little clamshell. Yeah. Oh yeah. It got watched a lot in my house.
Yeah, back when clamshell cases were a thing.
Oh my God. My parents probably still have it at their house somewhere.
That's awesome.
For me, I want to say I want to say I saw it in theaters, but I honestly do not remember. All as I remember in 1996 is watching this and playing NBA Jam at the same time.
So were you, I guess this is a follow-up question along that. Were you really into basketball? Because like in the 90s with Michael Jordan, like this whole thing is tied into that obsession we had developed with the NBA. Were you big into that?
Oh, well, see, when you're born and bred in Boston, Massachusetts, you have, you know, the love affair with sports, and it has to do with the Boston teams, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I was always Bird over Jordan.
Of course, yeah.
Of course. but I liked Michael. I thought he was a cool player. I liked watching the Bulls anytime they weren't playing the Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with Magic and the Lakers. As long as those teams weren't playing my team, I didn't care, you know, whatever.
So here's how powerful that was in that era. I am like the one Hoosier born that didn't like basketball. I still don't. I was never an athletic kid and I still don't follow it, but I still knew every single basketball. Well, all but one basketball player in this movie. I had a Michael Jordan poster. Cause like when you're a kid growing up in the 90s, you were issued a Michael Jordan poster. That was just, you had to have it. It wasn't whether you liked him or not. It was like, well, here's your standard childhood Michael Jordan poster. Go ahead and hang that up somewhere, whether you like him or not. It's the way it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember having a Chicago Bulls t-shirt. There's a picture of me as a kid somewhere in a Chicago Bulls t-shirt. I do not remember having a Jordan poster. I remember wanting the shoes in the 90s, but I wasn't going to go kill somebody over a pair of shoes.
Well, and the other thing too, were you into the Looney Tunes? Not necessarily as the cartoon, because I did watch the cartoon, but it was like a cultural phenomenon. Like you had hardcore rappers, you had adults wearing t-shirts of like Bugs Bunny and Taz in like thug gear. Were you ever into that?
I was and I wasn't. At the time that this came out, I was 16 and I was in the middle of being in state's custody in Kentucky at the time. So life was a little rough, let's say.
So you're going to give me a sob story now? No, I'm kidding.
No. You already know the sob story.
I know. I'm just giving you a
But it's one of those things where I don't remember, like, honestly, outside of UK, which UK is the superior basketball team out of the three of them. Outside of UK stuff, I don't remember wearing a lot of cartoon stuff. It was UK, you know. Basketball stuff, or unless it was like Transformers or I don't remember wearing Looney Tunes stuff. I might have had a Looney Tunes hat, maybe. But
the other thing that I remember are the merchandise tie-in. So like McDonald's, they had like the stuff. I had all of those things forever. Like I said, I might have a couple of them lying around. Actually, I know I have at least one. And I probably give it to my kid if he would watch the movie. That's another which we can get into here in a little bit. But
yeah. So when was the last time we saw this movie? For me, it was when we covered it on Tooncast and MWire back in 2009. So it's been about 12 years since I've seen the original Space Jam.
It's probably only a couple of years for me because I decided there was one time I was like, I'm going to sit down with my, he was probably four at the time, my four-year-old. I'm like, we're going to watch Space Jam. Yeah, he did not stay into it. So He's five now. I want to try a rewatch now that he's got, you know, a little bit more of an attention span. But so I sat down and watched it while he ignored it.
And honestly, I think that's probably what it's going to be for most parents that try to show their kid this. I don't think a lot of parents are going to be showing their kids the first film. I don't think
that's bad parenting.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a divorced father of none, so there you go.
Yeah, that's bad parenting.
Because like you said, your kid didn't even pay attention. Granted, he's only 4 years old.
Well, you gotta know the age range. And, you know, again, it's one of those. So the thing about this film is, and again, as a non-basketball player, I still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Challenge of this film, and we can get into this a little bit later if you want, but one of the challenges that this film has is, other than Michael Jordan, you know, a lot of these players don't necessarily have a legacy that is on the radar of kids in that like 10 to 12 range. I mean, I know Charles Barkley still around. He's commentating, you know, Michael Jordan, obviously, through his legacy, through shoes, but like Muggsy Bogues, you know, is that someone that's going to stand out? Patrick Ewing, Larry Johnson, you know what I'm saying? So like those people not having a significance kind of makes it hard for a new generation to jump in on this right from the get-go.
Right. And, you know, it surprises me, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about this new sequel that they've got coming out. I looked at the NBA player list that's in the sequel, and I'm like, I don't recognize any of these names because I have not been watching basketball in the longest time. I still root for the Celtics, and I'll still, hey, the Celtics won, yay, whatever, but I know nobody. And I look at the list of players that are in this movie that are in the first film: Danny Ainge, Steve Kerr, Alonzo Mourning. Already, I can tell you, former Boston Celtic turned Phoenix Sun. Steve Kerr was on the Bulls. Alonzo Mourning was on the Hornets with Grandmama. Horace Grant was on the Bulls. AC Green, Charles Oakley, Luke Longley. Like, I recognize a lot of these names from that time because I was watching basketball at that time.
Well, I mean, you got to think too. And again, we probably need to stray away from this because we're going to talk about it, later. But you know that again, you got to look at your target audience of that film, the new version. You know, we'll get into it there, but I kind of, after watching it, I was like, you know what, at that trailer, I was like, you know what, maybe I'm not the intended audience for this, but you know, right. We'll get into that.
Speaking of the trailer, I watched the movie and in order to get the audio that I'll end up putting in here, I actually recorded the audio from the film and I spent the hour and 24 minutes watching the movie and then another hour and 24 minutes ripping out 22 different clips from this film.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know if all 22 are going to make it into this podcast, but
what's going on here?
Why, Michael? I thought you'd never ask. You see, these aliens come from outer space and they want to make us slaves in their theme park. What do we care? They're little. So we challenge them to a basketball game. But then they show up and they ain't so little. They're huge! We need to beat these guys, because they're talking about slavery. They're going to make us do stand-up comedy, the same jokes every night for all eternity. We're going to be locked up like wild animals and then trotted out to perform for a bunch of lowbrow, bug-eyed, fat-headed, humor-challenged aliens. What I'm trying to say is, we need your help!
Yeah, but I'm a baseball player now.
Right. And I'm a Shakespearean actor.
There's a lot of good moments in that.
So many good moments. But it's one of those things where this is a movie to me that if I'm watching it, I enjoy it. If I'm watching it for background, it's like, oh, hey, I need to stop and make sure I have that line recorded as audio or whatever. And it's one of those things where it just brought me back to the 90s. And that's the feeling that I had with it.
Yeah, it is a great snapshot of the 90s because, again, it kind of encapsulates that huge obsession, love affair that we had with the NBA, you know, these stars of the, you know, the whole like legacy of Michael Jordan. I mean, it goes back to, you know, Michael Jordan quitting basketball to go play baseball and then coming back to basketball. You know, I mean that was such a huge turning point, and it's all encapsulated in this movie. And then of course you have the Warner Brothers characters in there and that as well. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and there are a lot of really good moments in the film as well.
Can you imagine if we, and I've said this to people before, and I really want to try to create this story. If we had social media starting in either 1975 or 1980, so start at the year of my birth, going forward in time with social media back then, can you imagine what kind of social media hell it would have been for him to retire the way he did? Because it was covered on TV and newspapers, but I mean, it wasn't, it was headline, but it wasn't as blown up as some of the things get nowadays with social media.
Oh, I'm going to stop you there. I think you're wrong.
Really?
I think his retirement was, I mean, it was up there as far as like news coverage. I mean, it was on, again, Michael Jordan sort of transcend. He was one of those original athletes that transcended the whole, I'm just an athlete, like, and he made himself into a brand. So his retirement, that was everywhere through pop culture, you know? And then when he went and played baseball, again, that was another like, oh my God. So he, I don't know. I think if you go back and look up all the places that was covered in, I think that was covered as much or probably maybe even a little bit more than some of the crazy, stupid pop culture stuff that's covered now.
No, but what I'm saying is it would have been even more than what it was. Yes, it was a lot. But
oh, for sure.
All these, you know, gate things nowadays and everything else and whatever. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Social media is taxing at times, folks.
Yeah, so you're not wrong.
Before catching up with this film, what do you remember most about it?
There are several things that I remember most about it. And like every time I watch it, I have to go and I zero in on one particular moment.
So he needs his special underwear. Oh, sorry. You think she's got enough toys?
Speaking of toys, you know all those mugs and T-shirts and lunchboxes with our pictures on them?
Yeah.
You ever see any money from all that stuff?
Not a cent.
Me neither.
It's a crying shame. We gotta get new agents. We're getting screwed.
The scene where they go in and they gotta get Bugs and Daffy gotta get his shorts and his shoes and all that stuff. That dog, Charles Barkley, that dog, that the computer effects on that are so awful because that dog looks 30 foot tall. Either the Bugs and Daffy are like a foot and a half tall, or that dog is ginormous. Because then when you see the dog later with the kids, it looks like a normal sized dog. Like it's it's a weird, like, I don't know if they were trying to do like a cartoon perspective of it, but it's awful. And I remember even as a kid going, what the heck is wrong? And then when I found out that that dog wasn't even voiced by a dog. It was voiced by,
well, it wasn't Mel, cause Mel is gone by now.
Mel, it was, and I feel bad cause I love, it was Wes, Frank Welker. That's who it was.
Frank Welker.
Yeah. It was Frank Welker. He's credited as voicing Charles the dog, which is hilarious. And that's, I think when I figured out that I was like, oh, voice acting is a thing. but yeah, that was one scene that stood. Then of course the iconic scene. And again, not great effect, but it was perfect at the time of Michael Jordan's 90 foot long arm.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I don't know why I enjoyed him for what he was. I thought he was hilarious. I thought, you know, his part, but, Wayne Knight,
Oh, Newman.
I mean, he was the slapstick human element slapstick comedy. It was great.
Right. Yep. For me, I remember almost everything about this movie. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I don't remember about it.
Did you know who Sean Bradley was? Because I did not know who he was until I got curious and looked it up the last time. Because I have always wondered who that last Monstar was. And I'm like, I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, he was on the Sixers. No, because the
I knew yeah. all of them. And again, I'm a non-basketball fan. I'm like, I have right. no idea who that tall, crazy white dude is.
Yeah. I guess I kind of did.
I was like, that's not Larry Bird because they didn't steal his power, but he's got kind of that tall, dopey kind of look like Larry Bird.
Yeah, no. And Larry's too old at that point.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had no idea who. Yeah, no, I do not know.
It's like Dan Castellaneta playing a fan, you know, Homer Simpson. You know, that was something that stood out the last time I watched it too, because you know, I'm super into voice acting and in voice actors. So I've learned a lot more about the behind the scenes part of this than I probably need to know.
What level of a fan were we heading into the prep work for this podcast? I've seen the movie in the last 12 years. I've seen it twice now in the last 12 years. I love it. It's one of those movies that will always stick with me as a film that brought basketball, I don't want to say to the forefront, but brought it to a lot more people in the cartoons as well, because most people by 1996 were either stuck on Animaniacs reruns or Pinky Elmira in the Rain, or something like that.
That was a huge resurgence for Warner Brothers cartoons, period. Not just the Looney Tunes, because Tiny Toons kind of brought a lot of that back, and there were some other things in that. I mean, I'd say almost super fan, because I routinely cite this in the like list of sports movies. I'm like, it's got to be on the list, man. It's fun. There's a little bit of suspense. I mean, you know, I know it's sacrilege and I'm not a sports guy, so come at me all you want, but I'd say it holds up as one of the better sports movies.
It kind of really does. I mean, it's one of those things where it just does. So getting into the film breakdown really quickly, we had Billy West as Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd for most scenes as Elmer. Dee Bradley Baker was Daffy and Taz. Danny DeVito was Swackhammer. I'm like, oh my God,
Which, if you didn't know that from watching the film, you don't even need to have the audio on.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. Yeah. Bob Bergen as Porky, Tweety, Marvin the Martian, Barnyard Dog, and Hubie and Birdie. Now, Hubie and Birdie, they are the mice that take over the announcing. I always loved those characters, and I wish they got more cartoons than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, sure.
Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup for the Toon Squad. Standing 2'4", the wonder from down under, the Tasmanian Deadpool. At small forward, standing a scintillating 3'2", the heartthrob of the hoops, Lola Bundy. At power forward, the quester of the courts, Daffy Duck.
Thank you. Very funny. Let's all laugh at the duck.
And that point guard, standing 3'3", 4 feet if you include the ears, co-captain of the Toon Squad, Doctor of Delight, Buzz Bunny!
Thank you!
player coach of the Toon Squad. At 6'6" from North Carolina, his royal fairness, Michael Jordan.
Who? Bill Farmer, who is also Goofy over at Disney, voiced Sylvester, Yosemite Sam, and Foghorn Leghorn. June Foray was Granny and Witch Hazel.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, some of these people, man, aren't with us anymore, and it sucks.
Well, June Foray, I mean, she's voice acting royalty. She was Granny pretty much the entire run of that character.
Oh, yeah.
She was Natasha, and she was Rocky, and yeah.
Maurice LaMarche voiced Pepe Le Pew in this.
I love how Wikipedia describes him as a debonair skunk.
Oui. Yeah. Yeah, a lot made about him and cancel culture, and I know he was in this movie, but he was only in there as like a skunk. I don't know that he pulled any of his normal like creepy forcing himself. I think he was just in there as a skunk for the most part.
Yeah, he was in there as himself, as a skunk, and basically he got two scenes, I want to say.
Yeah.
One scene where he got, a basket, and then another scene that, oh God, I don't even remember at this point. And I just said I remember.
It was one of the gimmick plays where, in gas masks, I think that. And then there was probably, I think there was some, he had something in one of the original practices.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course you can't leave out Kath Soucie, who was Lola Bunny, which for some of us who are going through puberty, we're really like, should I find her attractive because she's a cartoon character and a rabbit? Like, I don't really know how I should feel about her right now because, yeah.
So since we're talking about Lola.
Has anyone here ever played basketball?
I have. I'd like to try out for the team.
Hey.
Hi, my name is Lola Bunny.
Lola?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Bugs. You want to play a little one-on-one, doll?
Doll?
Uh-huh.
On the court.
Bugs. Sure. Ooh, heat hot.
Ready?
Yes.
The girl's got some skills.
Yes.
Don't ever call me doll. Hey, nice playing with you.
Very smooth.
She's obviously nuts about me.
Obviously.
I loved Lola in this, and this was her debut. They then brought her into the Looney Tunes show, which was, she was voiced by Kristen Wiig in that, and that was ran from 2011 to 2014.
Oh, I missed that one.
You don't want to see this.
Say, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to those. I've given the newest ones some go, and they're funny, but I enjoy the originals too much.
If you like Lola in Space Jam, you do not want to watch the Looney Tunes show version of Lola because she's a complete psycho.
Nice. Yeah, she was one that they added in, and obviously they added her in for marketing purposes and to appeal to a female audience. But then they had no, like, she was there, and then they didn't know what to do with her afterwards. So like, she appeared, and then she just kind of disappeared because, you know, writing for female characters, why would you try to do that?
Yeah, she has a lot of good scenes though in the movie.
Oh, she is great in this movie, and she is a great foible for Bugs. That was, because Bugs Bunny is always the one, he gets the last laugh, and so to invite a female character to get one over on him was pretty awesome. Like, she's really good in this film, and she's really good in that role. But you as a comedy writer then have to figure out, because comedy's all about status,
right? High status,
low status, so you have to figure out how to incorporate her routinely in that And that takes time and effort, especially with her being a female. So, you know, so I guess I didn't see any of the other stuff, but she was great in this, and it would have been nice if they'd continued it. But, you know, hey, why?
Exactly. All right. So highlights and lowlights of the film. I honestly, and this isn't me with rose tinted glasses. This is, again, I haven't seen this in 12 years until I started watching it to prepare for this. I just found myself enjoying it. I don't really have too many lowlights. Daffy wasn't, he was his normal greedy kind of self, and he had a lot of good lines, but there were points in the earlier Looney Tunes shorts where at one point his personality completely switched and he was completely self-servant. This he is, but it's not over the top. Big man, thank you.
How'd you do that?
Aw, anybody could do that, Doc. Even you. Watch this.
What? What? No sweat. This is Looney Tune Land.
10 seconds ago? Thanks for telling me. Doc.
Yeah, I mean, I see, the thing is this is one of the first major projects with new voice actors, you know, post-Mel.
True, true, yeah.
And I mean, I thought for the most part, a lot of them did, not just with the vocalization, but I thought they did a great job with staying true to their characters as well. And I thought definitely that was a highlight of the film. I thought they did a good job with that. I'm trying to think of some low points that just kind of,
there really aren't any. I can't, like, there isn't a point where I wanted to turn this off. There isn't a point, like, yeah, do I want to run for Slackhammer? No, but we know from the onset that he's the villain. We want to actually root for the little aliens, the little Monstars characters, because...
You know what? I'll tell you, here's a low point of the film. Michael's family, man. Michael's family, that whole thing bugged me, because looking back at it now, I'm like, the only reason his kids were in, and I use air quotes because those weren't really his kids. I always wondered, I was like, man, Michael's kids are in? No, those aren't his kids. That's not his wife. Which, by the way, how disappointing does that have to be? Hey, Dad, so I hear you're playing yourself in a movie with Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Can I play your son? I'm sorry. You're not the right type.
Well, I mean, that's
his kids.
I don't blame Michael for that. That's casting.
But like, if you're his kids, like, how disappointing is that? You know, I'm not even good enough to play my own dad's kids in a film. You know, that's Hollywood, but it's got to. Same with the new one and LeBron. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that's fine. But no, I mean, they were not necessary in this entire film, and the acting quality, just that whole, the whole bit with Michael's kids. No, that was not necessary at all.
Did you know the only reason why I know who his wife is in this movie is because she is Marcus's wife in the Bad Boys films? Teresa Randall. I love her as an actress, but the only four places I know her from are the Bad Boys trilogy and this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't need any of that. I'm like, all right, stop. I know that this is also an attempt to really sweeten Michael's image and, you know, as a fan, blah, blah. No, none of that was necessary. That crap. I was like, no, we can do without that. I don't need the little kids in this film. So there was that part. I mean, all in all, some of the stuff that does it really hold up, Mm-hmm. And it does, because I kind of remember it. But the whole Charles Barkley praying scene, you know, I won't even go out with Madonna again. You know, a lot of those stuff that are real topical, that stuff doesn't really help hold up anymore as much.
No, it doesn't. I just laughed at that because I'm like, oh, okay. And that scene, actually, those scenes actually go faster than I thought they originally did when I watched it this time. It wasn't like they were trying to figure out what was wrong with them or what was going on.
But how creepy, though, is it to watch that portion of this movie and when they're doing the lockout and all that stuff,
yeah,
now, having gone through the pandemic?
Yeah. I was like, ooh, gas masks.
Gas mask. No. You're not allowed in the locker room. We don't know what's going on. I was sitting there going, this is a lot less funny now, having lived through this.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot less funny now. It's like, man, another thing COVID has ruined is not completely ruined, but it's like Space Jam. Parts of Space Jam are not as enjoyable now because I'm like, yeah, that really happened. Nobody lost their powers and were given to aliens, but wow.
And I'm trying to remember, like, I know this obviously centered around Michael's first retirement. It also centered around the NBA strike. That's why they had that scene.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, like, if you know that watching the film, it adds something to it. It doesn't, you can still watch it and enjoy it, but like, Charles Barkley's pop culture references in there, you know, that's a little, the Dennis Rodman thing. And again, it's funny on the face of it, if you don't know about Dennis Rodman and that insanity, but still a lot of it gets lost. I mean, that's really honestly the flaw in this film, is some of the snapshot references of the NBA and some of the players at the time that don't last like you thought they would.
Yeah. And plus, you know, some of the quotes do and don't hold up. And like, how many NBA players currently could I name that have endorsement deals? Mm-hmm. None. I could not name a single one. Yet you have Wayne Knight here, you know, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties, we'll grab a Big Mac on the way to the, you know, all of that. And I love that quote. I think that's a cool thing to show everything that Michael was doing at the time.
Well, we all knew it, you know, I mean, that's
exactly.
But again, Michael Jordan was the first. Mm-hmm. Well, he might not have been the first, but he was definitely the example on how to create a brand, not just, you know, I'm going to be this, a brand, you know, Shaq did it. You know, that's the one, you know, looking at this, I'm like, the only person that's missing from this is Shaq.
I'm kind of partial to purple and gold myself. It goes better with my coloring. A one.
Guys, nice outfit there. The little aliens say it's their turn to use the
course. Yeah, sure. Let the little pipsqueaks knock themselves out. Too bad you can't practice getting taller, boys.
They even got the Lakers in here. They didn't get any of the Lakers players, but they got the Lakers in here because Daffy is partial to purple and gold.
Yes.
So funny.
Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of this movie really holds up because at its core, it is a Looney Tunes story that happens to involve basketball, where it misses 25 years later
Are
topical jokes that were thrown in
for the time.
You know, and then of course, you know, we don't know what this is. We don't know what kind of sickness this is. That does color a little bit different, you know, after 2020.
Yeah, it does.
Especially, you know, with the NBA bubble and all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Favorite character moments.
Somebody that we haven't touched on in this film at all is Bill Murray.
I was saving him for the end because isn't that Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. But his appearance at the end when he comes in, but just his whole insistence that he could be an NBA player throughout that film. I mean, it was pure Bill Murray, but it was very funny.
Yeah. I kind of wish he had a proton pack on.
If they, you know, if they could have licensed it, I'm sure they would have. They would have tried.
I'm sure they would have. Yeah.
Wayne Knight digging the hole.
I'm fixing a divot.
Oh, he's fixing a divot. Like, you know, I loved that kind of notion. I loved when Daffy comes out and he goes, he's like, I've got a new team name, the Ducks. And then Bugs is, what kind of Mickey Mouse organization would name their team the Ducks? Uh-huh. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really good one-liners in there.
Yeah, because was 96?
Oh, the Mighty Ducks.
I know the first one came out in 92. I'm trying to remember when the sequel came out. Was that 93 or 96?
Anyway. I don't know. But what had happened, they had named the Anaheim team.
Right. The Mighty Ducks. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that had already been done. So whether or not the second one had come out or not, that was already in the public zeitgeist.
Second one was 94. Third one was 96.
Yeah. So we were already on the third one by the time, by around the time this one came out. So yeah, that was already a huge thing in sports films.
Yes. Character moments for me.
Don't try this at home.
I wish I was in the land of Cotway.
Going somewhere.
May I remind you, sir, that physical violence is tasty.
Did you order original recipe or extra crispy?
Yeah, those are good. The Monstars as a whole, like all of their brutal tactics, I thought were really well done. This kind of counts too as kind of a low point, but Michael's acting is atrocious in this film. I don't know that Michael has ever gone on and done anything like else other than some commercials or, you know, maybe a bit role, but his acting is atrocious in this whole film. Like even in parts where it's like, just do what you normally do, Michael. It is atrocious. Like the whole pep talk scene in the locker room, Bugs pulls out Michael's secret stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is awful, 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 awful.
Yeah, finished? Great speech and all, Doc. You had him riveted, but didn't you forget something?
But it's Michael Jordan.
See, that's the thing, though. Okay, it's Michael Jordan. It's Michael Jordan trying to play a fictional version of himself mixed in with what he really is. Mm-hmm. That's the big problem.
One of the most iconic parts of this film, though, and again, Michael's acting is, especially when he's with the Looney Tunes, is atrocious. And if you look, it looks like they tried to limit the one-on-one scenes with him, but mm-hmm. That scene right after they get him his shorts and his shoes. Uh-huh. And he goes, let's see if I remember how to do this. And you hear, in my head, anytime I'm doing like a basket, anything, I'm like, let's see if I remember how to do this. Like, always plays in my head.
Fly like an eagle.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, it's better than having R. Kelly play in your head.
Let's stop. Let's stop there.
Hey, I'm just saying.
R. Kelly jokes, because I'll go that route.
I'm just hey, we're an explicit podcast. I don't care. Just,
I don't need somebody to lead. It's like, man, they had like 37 P jokes in that podcast. Yeah, no.
And I mean, honestly, I barely remember I Believe I Can Fly. I remember
that song was everywhere because of this film.
I know that, but I remember Fly Like an Eagle more because Seal is just better than R. Kelly.
Well, I mean, there is an argument there, but I like I said, I remember that when he goes in, he's like trying to, you know, shake the rust off when he's playing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, ooh, wow. You know, it's like, yeah. That was a moment. That was a moment. That was right up there with the stretch arm, and then you get the Monstar butt.
Yeah,
they're fishing. You know, so many the best parts of that film are in that final game with the Monstars.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's a pure Looney Tunes cartoon right there.
Yep. I think my favorite special effect. It's probably, it's not the arm stretch, I can tell you that. It's the scene in the beginning when he first lands, and it's after Daffy does his Nanny Duck Turk thing. It's right when Michael says, "But I'm a baseball player." Oh, sure, and I'm a Shakespearean actor. I love how they were able to get Bugs' shoulder on Michael's shoulder. Like, I love that picture because you can clearly tell that there's, like, he's reacting to nobody. He's just looking with a blank stare to what Bugs is, and even though there's nothing there for him, it's there for us.
Yeah. I gotta say, Flat Wayne Knight was good.
How do you do that? This is Looney Tunes Land. We can do anything.
Well, and, like, that's the thing about this movie that really worked, is we were at a point where the effects were good enough. Like, it's not like it's still very cartoony, but it fits in the vein. And Who Framed Roger Rabbit? There were a couple in there that also worked, but it took like 10 times as long to do them as it would have when Space Jam was created.
Yeah. Because again, this movie was probably actually made somewhere between late 94 and all of 95. Mm-hmm. So by 95, the technology had advanced enough to where
it's a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit more streamlined.
Yeah. Flat Wayne Knight. That was good. You know, I mean, again, they're cheesy, but that movie, it's supposed to be cheesy, you know?
Yeah. All right. Pacing of the movie. I found myself fine with the pacing of it. There's a few scenes, like we mentioned before, with the other basketball players trying to figure out what's wrong with them. But overall, on this watch through, I didn't find myself losing interest in watching it.
It's a quick 88 minutes. I'll get that. Like I said, watching it now, I'm like, yeah, there's some stuff I would cut. Probably, like I said, the kids I don't think is really necessary in anything, you know, and maybe some of the lockout stuff. But I think the interstitials with the players trying to figure out what's wrong with them, I think it's still it's funny. It's funny enough that it goes along at a quick pace. And, you know, the game itself is actually not that long. And you know, I think it works. I think it works out pretty well.
All right. Favorite characters, main recurring guest stars. Who are your favorites if you had to pick?
I think Daffy does. I like Daffy a lot in this one. I think he's a good counterbalance, because the problem with Bugs and Michael Jordan is they're two high status characters that really aren't supposed to lose. And even though Bugs gets stuffed a few times by the Monstars, that's they're the big bad. Mm-hmm. You have Daffy Duck, who can come in and he's the loser. He can be the loser that Bugs and Michael really can't.
Yeah. It's like in the when Hubie and Birdie are doing the introductions. All right, fine. Let's all laugh at the duck.
Yeah. And I think D. Bradley Baker does a fantastic job with him. Not spot on. Not that it's going to be. It's not spot on to Mel Blanc, but it's really good. And I think he has a good idea on that character. And the sad part, and it's a little off tangent, but the sad part is, I don't know if you knew this, but there were two openings for this at the same time. So they were at two theaters. One had Michael Jordan and all the celebrities.
Right.
The other one was for the voice actors. They couldn't even get into, they got into the overflow theater.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah. They are the star. You know, Billy West, D. Bradley Baker, Danny DeVito probably got in the other one, but like Bob Bergen, Bill Farmer, you know, these guys who arguably are bigger stars in their body of work than anybody else in this film, they had to go to a separate screening they weren't allowed into the main screening.
That's, you know what? I'm just going to let Phineas Flynn take care of that.
That's so 90s.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, June Foray, Kat Susie, Martin, you know, these actors, you know, they kind of got shafted by that. And, but I think Dee Bradley Baker's performance as Daffy Duck, I thought it was great. I thought Daffy was a good comedic relief in a very funny movie, and he still stuck out. As far as like side characters, I got to give it to Wayne Brady and Bill Murray, because I thought they weren't interval parts. But again, Wayne Knight was the human Daffy Duck.
Yeah, he was.
Totally the human Daffy Duck in this film, and totally played that role very well. And then the, like, my dark horse comedic character in this, that it still surprises me, he was fine. Larry Bird at the exchange while they're all golfing.
Yeah.
It's still funny. It still holds up. It's very dry. It's a little like Peyton Manning-esque in that you know, now we expect it, but when Peyton Manning was in his heyday, like, you didn't quite expect that coming from him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, characters, almost all of the Looney Tunes, I like them all. I think they're great. They each have their own things. I think my sleeper here is Witch Hazel during the one scene where they're all, it was like right before halftime or something or other. And
he was open.
No, not that one. No, not when he passes the ball to Granny. Witch Hazel, it's right before they go into the locker room.
Yes.
She does the clear on one of the other Looney Tunes. I was like, oh, they got Witch Hazel in there. That's so cool. Because again, June Foray. I think it's hilarious that the dog's name is Charles, because
it's a good joke.
Jordan and Barkley had a rivalry going. I love, because it had been a few years since I'd seen him play, and this is just a silly Boston thing, even though he's on the Suns at the time. Seeing Danny Ainge play and now having him be whatever he is with the Celtics organizations today, it's like, oh, that's so cool. All right. How did the film hold up? Did the film keep our interest throughout?
So I think, because I watched it about a year ago. It held up to me, and I tried to think about before we got on here today. I tried to think about, does it hold up because of nostalgia, or does it hold up? And for me personally, as someone who grew up with it, I think it does hold up somewhat. Again, though, after 2020, I think there are some parts that are a little like, yeah, that's not it. That's not that funny anymore, having gone through it. And then there are some pop culture references, if you didn't live it, that are going to go over your head.
Yeah.
But I think those aside, I do think it could be accessible to another generation.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when this question, did the film keep your interest throughout? As long as I'm not pausing it and wanting to go do other things and whatever else, like I said earlier in the show, when I watched this, I was sitting here at my computer so I could record the audio. So I just hit record on my Audacity program and just put the movie on full screen and just sat here and watched it. And it was fun to just watch it again, because I haven't seen it in 12 years before now. Oh boy, there's a question on here you're going to scoff at. Are we itching to watch the next film now?
Okay, we're going to get into it. All right, okay. So before I had seen that trailer, I had come to terms, and I even tweeted about this, I'd come to terms that there was going to be a new one. Now, I'd heard this and that, but I was like, okay, all right. Maybe they'll do it and they'll maybe try to make up for some of the flaws of the first one, or, you know, whatever, a new generation, or maybe it's a sequel, you know, whatever. See what they're doing. I watched the trailer. Okay. There's a lot here.
Yeah, there is.
There is a lot. Like, Space Jam was a Looney Tunes film.
Yeah.
This is a Warner Brothers animation amalgamation.
No. Yeah.
Which is a lot. And I had some of the problems that I had watching this trailer for the new Space Jam, I had with the Ready Player One movie.
I've never seen that, so I don't know anything about it.
I was not a fan of the film. The book I enjoyed. It's not a perfect book, but I enjoyed it. But there's a lot of stuff done for fan service, but I don't know that it really is necessary or plays into anything. Like, they had the gang of rapists from A Clockwork Orange in there. Why on earth are those in there?
With a, you know, for a kid's movie, yeah.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's a very odd thing. And like, are you trying to say that the first film didn't happen, or did this happen again? Or like, I feel like there were a lot of opportunities with this film. And again, we've only got one trailer, but based on this trailer, that there might've been a lot of opportunities to tie the other one in somehow, or at least reference it. So you can be like, okay, it's okay to enjoy this one, and this one's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just,
Yeah, this is a Space Jam sequel has been languishing for 25 years, folks. Originally, this was supposed to be back in the 90s. Pitka was going to return to direct. They were going to get Spike Brandt and Tony Cervone to do the animation supervision. Obviously, that fell through because Michael would not return. Several possible spin-offs focusing on other athletes, including Jeff Gordon, Tiger Woods, and Tony Hawk. Okay, I like Jeff Gordon and I like Tony Hawk, and that's fine, but if you're going to do a Space Jam movie, you can't have anything other. You can have other sports in there, but basketball kind of is the Space Jam legacy.
Well, so they were in danger of basically making this into the Air Bud franchise.
Yeah.
So like, I tweeted this at the time when I heard about this. LeBron needed, instead of making a second Space Jam, LeBron should have gone back and remade Kazam and got it right.
Oh, Lord.
Because that's a film that does not hold up. And I'm being, and I have often been accused of being very nostalgic and very generous with Space Jam. I tried to go back and watch Kazam, and I couldn't even make it through that monstrosity. Shaq is not the worst part of that film, but he's pretty dang close.
Yeah. So the sequel for Space Jam basically follows around LeBron James and his son it's basically Wreck-It Ralph with Warner Brothers.
Kind of. So LeBron's son gets kidnapped. Like, he's not good at basketball. Which,
he doesn't want to be a basketball player.
Yeah.
Which
I did. You know, I will say, when I started watching that trailer, I was like, you know what? I'm kind of relating to this a little bit. You know, not that my dad was LeBron James, but my dad was very athletic in high school and college and everything, and very into sports. I was not. I was a chubby kid that did not like sports because I was bad at it. I wasn't athletically coordinated. So I did relate a little bit more to that part of the film. But, you know, why do we need an animated LeBron? You know, so there's a lot in that trailer that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe when we get closer and we get another one. One question I had too, it was just announced like this week or last week that Zendaya is voicing Lola Bunny, which, you know, that's how that works now, folks, is you get a big name actor and actress to voice things, which is another problem I have. But shouldn't she have already filmed her stuff if we're putting trailers out? Like, shouldn't that have already been done?
Didn't they even go back and redo the Lola design because they thought it was? Oh, I'm like, well, okay.
They had to go through and redo pretty much everybody because this is more like 3D computer than hand.
Right. True,
sort
true.
Of style, which is, I mean, which is fine. Everybody kind of looks fine and whatnot, but it's just, I don't know. But I, the one positive I have of this though, is, of the new one, is maybe I'm not the intended audience for this film.
Yeah.
Which, okay. I can live with that. You know, I feel like there possibly would be a way to get both groups.
Yeah, but
yeah. Have you looked at the casting for the new Space Jam?
Yes. It's Jeff Bergman as Bugs, Sylvester Foghorn and Fred Flintstone, Eric Bauza as Daffy, and Martian, Bob Bergman.
Eric Bauza is fantastic. What's confusing is they got Eric Bauza as Porky Pig and Bob Bergen. So I'm wondering what happened there.
I only see him listed as Daffy and Marvin. I see Bob listed as Porky and Tweety.
On IMDb, they got him as Daffy, Foghorn, Elmer, Marvin the Martian, and Porky the Pig.
Then IMDb has it wrong, because I know for a fact that Bob is most likely doing Porky and Tweety.
But Bob is also listed as Porky the Pig. That's what I'm saying. So I'm wondering if maybe there are a couple of pickups somewhere that Bob wasn't able to do. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you what it said there. Because I too know that Bob is Porky. He's one of that is. Yeah.
He got Mel Blanc's wife's phone number out of the phone book. So, you know,
if anybody listening, that's a fantastic story. Go look that up.
I love that story.
He is I've met him. He is a fantastically sweet individual and very talented. So.
Yes, and there's a lot of tunes that aren't going to be in this, or at least they weren't going to be initially. Speedy Gonzalez is one of them.
I get that. I mean, I like those cartoons, but I totally get that. You know, and I'm not going to get into an argument about, well, you can't. It is what it is, man. I mean, stereotypes were around, and they weren't. We just kind of accepted them, and you know, it is what it is. But he wasn't really in the first one.
No, Speedy wasn't in the first one at all. Like they were trying to get Pepe, they were trying to get Speedy, and they have Speedy now apparently, because Gabriel Iglesias is going to be voicing him.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So the music for this new film, I find this absolutely hilarious, because this is Warner Brothers and this is just crazy. According to this, in January 2020, Hans Zimmer was announced as the composer for the film. By April of the same year, Chris Bowers was announced to be working with Zimmer as co-composers. However, in January of this year, it was officially confirmed that Bowers will receive sole credit. So they couldn't even land Hans Zimmer on an official. Wow. Oh boy.
You know, look, let's be honest. The new Space Jam film, you know, that you're Hans Zimmer. You know, maybe you do it, maybe you don't. If you don't feel like doing it, you don't. You know, it's not gonna make or break his career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I do see Gabriel Iglesias as Speedy Gonzalez. Yeah. Interesting.
And some of these, I'm interested in this new film, but unless it shows up, unless I can somehow, you know, get another free trial to HBO Max, I'm probably not going to see it anytime soon.
I mean, we've got another year till it comes out, right?
I thought it was coming out this year.
Yeah, 2021. And when does it come out?
July 16th.
Oh, well, okay. Then you again, why are we just announcing that Zendaya is going to... I'll probably watch it. I'm just... So the thing that the original Space Jam did well that I'm afraid about with this one is they took the Looney Tunes universe and they gave fan service to most of the key characters and found ways to incorporate a lot of the peripheral characters, you know, like the two mice that you love, you know, let them be announcers. You know, they're not huge characters in the Looney Tunes universe, but they had bit roles. Right. Some of the audience members, you're like the big red monster that was in, you know, a couple of those, you know, he's in there, the bull. So they found a way to give fan service to some of those. This one is so crammed with so many Warner Brothers characters, it's like, what's the point of having them in there if they're not going to get service in there? So I'm afraid there's just going to be so much in pouring in for nostalgia's sake that nothing is going to matter.
Yeah. And again, it reminds me, and not that I find Ralph Breaks the Internet a bad film. They did it really well. This Space Jam, A New Legacy, just is one of those things where it looks like, that, like you said, they're cramming everything into the serververse from all of Warner Brothers' properties. And how is the story, other than the fact that LeBron has to save his son by playing a basketball game? That's the other thing. I think this new thing got a little bit better. Like in the original film, oh, we want the Looney Tunes as our, you know, Moron Mountain ride attraction people, and then they want Jordan as that. At least with this new movie, they're trying to do a story with the humans.
I did like that. You know, when the Looney Tunes disappeared, like when they had to go do that, they disappeared. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked that concept that the Looney Tunes are still just going through the motions. So when you watch the cartoons, they're doing it. Like, yeah. I like that notion. Yeah. It did give it some stakes, you know, whatnot. So, you know, I don't know. Like, it's very easy for me to gripe on this because it's not the same.
But that, again, that's the point. We now live in a different world. We can't just, if they had done the sequel 25 years ago.
I wish, and maybe it will be. I wish it was something that, you know, maybe it's not the Monstars, but maybe they heard about what the Monstars tried to do and then tried, you know, they somehow tied it in so that it's sort of a continuation. It's, you know, even if it's like Bugs going, oh, not this again, you know, whatever. You know, I think that would be kind of a nice way to mingle the two. The one thing that is unforgivable, though, that I will say, one of the historical landmarks of the internet was the original Space Jam website that had been on the internet since 1996. Okay. On Stargate, all that stuff. This piece of shit trailer came out. They overrode the damn website. Now somebody has archived it, so it still exists. But when you go to spacejam.com, that's not what you get. You get this trash. Don't piss on what was before. Okay. Unforgivable.
I can't stop laughing. You sound like me from 7 years ago.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, granted, okay, the original Space Jam website was probably not driving a whole lot of clicks.
No.
Put a link on there or put a link on the new website. Hey, the original, whatever. Don't just
erase it. Yeah.
Just now you're just making anybody who was a fan of the original movie mad.
Speaking of the original movie, before we get the heck out of here, what would you rate it 0 to 5?
So there's a part of me that wants to give it a solid 5, but I can't do that because of some of the things that we talked about, some of the stuff that doesn't quite hold up. So I'm going to go with a 4. I think it's really good. You know, it's still enough to hold your attention. The animation in it is still good. Like watching it on a high def screen is still really enjoyable.
Yep.
You know, there are certain problems, but I think you can overlook them because, you know, it's still a kid's movie and it's Michael Jordan. You know, yeah, exactly. He still has significance even though he hasn't played in how long. So
yeah,
I give it a 4.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm gonna give it a 4, because instantly I'm like we've already said with the LA team players. It's like, no, there's some kind of germs in there or whatever. I'm like, nope, I'm staying home. See you, folks. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. You're gonna hear some ads, some other stuff, and all that good stuff, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed. Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny Cole.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kid?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacian.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format. And if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me until it ends over, then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Your Airness, but if you don't find a fifth player, your team will forfeit the game.
Forfeit?
Precisely, Sir Altitude.
No way. We'll find someone. Da, 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 da!
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I didn't know Dan Aykroyd was in this picture.
Hey, perhaps I could be of some assistance. That's our fifth guy.
Now you get to live up your dream. Let's go.
All right. We need to score 2 points.
Here's how I see it. Doc.
Yeah.
You kick it into the girl bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy bunny.
Got
you
it.
You swing it around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
We on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
Typical.
All right, you're going to have to listen to Mike on this, guys.
Okay.
Listen up.
Somebody steal the ball, give it to me, and I score before the time runs.
Don't lose that confidence. Okay, claws and wings in here. All right.
All right, folks, we are back. And Space Jam and its new legacy and music. And wasn't it you that I saw was like, it's a complete travesty that they put the Quad City DJs song in the trailer?
No, but it did cross my mind.
I mean, this, here's the thing. They're trying to get us. They're trying to get the original fans of the movie to like the new trailer. And if it didn't have Space Jam song in it, I probably would be like, Why do they have friggin' Kanye West doing some sort of weird music in this trailer?
I mean, again, it's like I'll tie these two together very quickly. But
okay,
my problem so far with the new movie is similar to my problem with the one of my problems with the all female reboot of the Ghostbusters.
Okay,
I need to know right off the bat, is this separate universe or tied together?
Right.
I just don't let it live in ambiguity. Like, I need to know, did the original film happen in this universe or not? And so it's like the fact that you don't automatically necessarily know that makes it hard for me to judge anything. You know, it's hard to set my expectations. Right. I guess is what I should say. So it's like, if you are doing a sequel, let me know that this is a sequel of some kind. If you are doing sort of a spinoff, let me know. If this has nothing to do with the original film other than it being Space Jam, let me know that. I can make my opinions accordingly, but don't just wuss out and say you're not, and just, well, you know, well, we'll see. No, make a statement, stand by your choice, and then do it.
There you go. All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. Okay, I have to do that again. I haven't read this in a while. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts and all the other stuff we do. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you choose. However, I prefer you use one of these. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Yes, iTunes still is a thing, folks. It's not just Apple Podcasts anymore. Still. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TF21 Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio. The show Twitter is It's Studio 2009. It's without an apostrophe. What is your Twitter, sir?
I am at Jesse Rass, 1S at the end. Don't listen. I do a good enough job of making an ass of myself without you doing it for me.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. You can also search out Studio 2009 Podcast over there. Join us next time when Steve and I will be discussing how golf only requires goofy pants and a fat ass. That's right. We're going to be talking about 25 years of Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gooby. Happy Gooby. Happy Gooby.
Okay, Scooby. For now, I am TFU and Mike with...
Oh, Jesse Rass.
Yeah, that's you.
Ah!
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
I bet Will Smith ain't got to deal with this.
Let's try that again, shall we?
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right. All right.